If you do have a Bible, you can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to believe the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just to give you a little bit of a background while you turn there, the Apostle Paul is facing death, okay? Convicted as a follower of Jesus, Paul sat in a cold Roman prison with just Luke and his writing material. Luke, who went on to write, obviously, Luke's gospel and the book of Acts. Knowing that he would soon be executed, this is the Apostle Paul, he wrote his final thoughts to his son in the faith, his son, his spiritual son, Timothy, passing to him the torch of leadership. He reminded him of what was truly important and encouraged him in his faith. This was the last letter from his mentor, Paul, that Timothy was receiving. So imagine how he read the words and cherished the words and reread the words and meditated and thought about all that the Apostle Paul had spoken to him over the years and shared with him and had poured into him. Imagine how he just labored over every word and thought about everything that he had heard and received. I want to start with verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1, says here, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." Verse 2, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Teach these truths, to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." So he's saying, Timothy, there are some things that truth that you've received from me. Now I want you to take what you've learned from me and pass it on to others. Teach these things to faithful men, trustworthy people who will be able to pass it on to others. So you've got four generations there. The Apostle Paul pouring into Timothy, who's now telling Timothy, everything you've learned, pass it to trustworthy people who will now in turn teach others. Did you catch that? Four generations. So the gospel continues to move forward. So the truth of God continues to be revealed to every generation that was to come. He tells him, endure suffering along with me. The King James says, endure hardness. Endure hardness. And this word hardness is a very interesting word. It means obviously suffering. It means affliction. So he's encouraging Timothy. He's saying, you're going to go through difficult days, Timothy. You're going to go through hard times. As a matter of fact, in chapter 3, he begins to list all the different things that were going to be happening in the last days. From men being lovers of themselves, to those who would hate you, to those who would be focused on their own desires. I mean, he begins to list all these different things, calling them perilous times, the last days. But he says, endure hardness, endure suffering. Timothy, you're going to have great times where you're flying high and things seem to be going well, but then there are going to be days where you're going to be down in the dumps to the point where you're despairing even of life, Timothy. So endure hardness, endure afflictions. You're going to suffer trouble. You're going to have trouble times, but endure these things. Persevere in these things, Timothy. Then he goes on to use three metaphors here. Verse 4, he says, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. Another translation puts it this way, NKG, it says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he might please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Then he says in verse 5, athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules, unless they do things according to the regulations, the rules. And then verse 6, a hardworking farmer should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. So he talks about a farmer who's farming, but then as the produce is grown and it's reaped, that he's the one who should first be partaking of the produce. In other words, it's not enough to talk to people about God. You yourself have to partake of him as well. Amen? So all the truths that you're teaching, that you need to make sure that it's a part of the fabric of your being as well. And then verse 7, think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you to understand these things. Now tonight, for the sake of time and for the sake of what I feel on my heart to share with you, I'm just going to use one of the metaphors. We're going to focus on the first metaphor that he uses here, and it's that of a soldier. It's that of a soldier because he was obviously in custody, and he at times he was arrested several different occasions and was surrounded. And Rome obviously was the ruling government at the time, and so he was very familiar with the soldier, and so he uses that there, and that's what we're going to focus on there on tonight. If I were to entitle this message, and I know it's a word from the Lord, I would entitle it, "This is war, so no slacking." This is war, so no slacking. Now, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is indeed a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Cause it to fall on good soil tonight. Let it bring forth fruit 100-fold to the glory of your name, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy, and he said, no one engaged in warfare, no one who is currently in active duty entangles himself. And the word entangle means intertwine yourself, to inweave yourself, to overly involve yourself, to overly engross yourself. So he wasn't saying, Timothy, don't get caught up in the things of this world to a point where, you know, you don't work, okay? You don't go to school. You don't get involved in friendships or relationships or hang out with people that don't know the Lord so you can share with them. He wasn't saying that. He was just saying, don't get overly intertwined. Don't get overly engrossed. Don't let these things begin to entangle you to a point where they begin to affect you on a negative plane, in a negative way. Does that make sense? So he says, don't allow these things. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So he's talking about the natural life, that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, do you know when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you were enlisted? Did you know that? You were enlisted into an army, the army of God. So you are now a soldier according to the scriptures. You are a warrior for Christ. You are a soldier. You're part of his army. Now, number one, first point, there is a war going on. And I think I need to remind you of that tonight. And I think the Holy Ghost wants to remind you of that tonight. What are we talking about? Well, the Bible tells us that there is a war between light and darkness, between good and evil, Christ and Satan. The scriptures go on to tell us in Revelations, it tells us there was war in heaven between Michael and the angels against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon being the devil. And the dragon was defeated and cast out of heaven with his angels, which are known to you and I today as demons. Revelation goes on to say, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing his time is short. He goes about as a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Ephesians tells us this, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, though some of you might feel like you do, right? At home with maybe your brother, your sister, your roommate at school, maybe that one in the cubicle next to you in the office that you seem to just be butting heads with, or maybe that boss or that landlord or that neighbor that just plays that music so loud you can't sleep. So you feel like you're wrestling against flesh and blood at times. But the scripture says, we are fighting on even a higher plane, folks. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. The devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. There is a war, folks, going on. There is a war without, but then there's also a war within. The Bible tells us in Romans 7, the good that I want to do, the Apostle Paul was saying, I don't do. But the bad that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. So he talks about this inner struggle, this inner war that's going on. In the heart of every believer, there is a constant struggle between the old nature and the new. The old nature is always looking for an opportunity to rear its ugly head. Yet we also have this new nature that is always ready to withstand and overcome its enemy. Hallelujah. And we thank God for that tonight, folks. Because we have the victory through Christ. I said we have the victory through Christ. And that victory is ours in Christ when we give our hearts to him. And yet there is this warfare that we have to engage in on a daily basis. And it's very real. This is a struggle that will not end while we are still on this side of eternity. Revelation talks about a flood that the dragon, the devil, released after the woman, who is a type of the church. It's a flood of perversion and evil and of self-focus to try to sweep away the church if it could. He's after the seed of Christ. The seed of Christ. Who is the seed of Christ? It's you and it's me. It's you and I. So he's after believers. Folks, he's already got the world. Do you understand that? He already has the world. So he's after believers. He's after your faith. He's after you. So we know that we are in a war, folks, according to the scripture. Now, what is at stake? What is at stake? Number two, what's at stake? Our families, our homes, marriages, our schools, campuses, our communities, our nation, the souls of men. I think of the 41 million teenagers in this country alone. 41 million teenagers in this country alone. What about the fact that drug overdose deaths have risen 200%? Since the year 2000 to 475,000 drug overdoses in this country. You know, that's almost 500,000. If you were to divide that by 50, that's 9,500 people per state. So 9,500 people this year in New York State will overdose on drugs and die. 9,500. Stats tell us 1 in 3 college students will consider suicide. 1 in 3. So if you see 3 college students walking down the street, one of those college students will consider suicide. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death among Americans. Each year, 42,773 Americans die by suicide. In New York, suicide is the 2nd leading cause of death between those ages 15 to 34, second leading cause of death. Think of those who are caught in perversion of all kind and those who are experiencing gender confusion. Folks, think of tonight others like yourself that are wondering, is there hope? Is there help? Is there a God who really cares? Think about that tonight. What are the dangers of slacking off? And when I say slacking off, what are we talking about? We're talking about getting lazy and not staying in the fight, but kind of taking a break and letting our guard down and beginning to get lax and spiritually lazy and allowing that to begin to settle in. Folks, we're not talking about vacationing here. Vacationing and slacking are two different things. Next month, I'm going to Puerto Rico on vacation for about 10 days. And I'm going to enjoy myself. and I'm going to relax and I'm going to chill. But you better believe every day I'm going to have time with Jesus, because I ain't slacking. We're called to persevere. And this is war. Whether I take a break or not, the devil doesn't take a break, folks. I said the devil don't take a break. So I'm not going to sleep on him and think that everything's going to be okay. Because my Bible tells me not to get entangled, to be aware. The Bible says we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. What are the dangers of slacking off? Number three, we can become a muddied spring tainted by mixture. We can become a muddied spring tainted by mixture. Proverbs 25:26 says this, like a muddied fountain and a polluted spring is a righteous man who yields, falls down, and compromises his integrity before the wicked. Like a muddied fountain or polluted spring, a righteous man, and that's you and I, those who have given their hearts to Christ, who yields, falls down, and compromises his integrity before the wicked. So it's saying, once there was this pure stream, clear, pure witness for Christ, and now when you begin to compromise, you take a break and you start slacking and you start falling into old habits, it's like taking this pure spring and now it's become muddied. It's not clear and clean and the way it was. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the picture that's being painted here in Proverbs. Dangers of slacking off. We get caught up in things we have no business being a part of. We find ourselves doing things we never thought we would. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, which we've just been studying with our Bible groups, CCG and YAM groups, college and career groups on Sunday nights, exhorts us not to be idle, but to be steadfast, lest we become busybodies and freeloaders. Busybodies meaning gossips and talking about people and stuff and that we shouldn't be involved in, and freeloaders. Do you know what a freeloader is? Do you know what a freeloader is? A freeloader is a person who starts to live off the expenses of others. They don't work, and they just start mooching and hustling in the house. And we get those in the house of God too, folks. And they know how to work the crowd. Sometimes we get them right outside the church. They know how to hustle, folks. They're hustlers. So they come and park themselves right out here. And I've had that happen. I've had folks come up to me and they're asking for money, and I offer to buy them a sandwich, and they're like, "No, I don't want a sandwich. Give me money." I'm like, "You beggar, can't be too serious. Are you hungry? I'll help you." Quite often they want to use the money to support their drug habits, and I'm not going to support somebody's drug habits. So there are times where I've bought people sandwiches, and there are other times where I've just had to say, No, if you don't want food, I can't give you money, This is freeloading. Our focus and affections can begin to shift when we slack from the eternal to the temporal, to the temporal, from confidence in God to leaning on our own strength and understanding. King David got into trouble when he took a break from his post. I think of young people who I've encouraged that have gone off to college. For example, high schoolers that have graduated from our high school group and encouraged it when they go off to college to make sure they find a Bible club on their campus, InterVarsity, Campus Crusade, Navigators, Seekers. Find a Bible study to get involved in on your campus. And some of them I've known to just slack, just take it easy and say, let me get acclimated in my classes. Let me do this and let me do that. Only over time for them to begin to just slack, become lazy spiritually and not pray as much anymore, not read their word, not come to the house of God, not go to fellowship. And so all of a sudden they start to drift, you know, and they start to get cold and then lonely. And I've seen it over and over again. I used to teach IT, computer science, in a college here in this city. And I saw Christians come into campus. And when they didn't get plugged in, I just saw them get swallowed up by the culture, the philosophies of men, by the spirit, the secular spirit on the campus, secular humanistic spirit on the campus. And so, folks, I know what I'm talking about. I've seen this firsthand. I was encouraging the young people from Summit, you better make sure when you go home, whether some are international students, I said, wherever you go, you make sure you find the local believers, the local church, and get plugged in. You know, as it's starting to warm up here in our climate, I want to encourage you, as it starts to warm up, there'll be a temptation on Friday nights to hang out, not to come to the house of God. There'll be that temptation to start slacking. Don't do that. Don't do that. The devil will try to woo you. And it's, folks, it's not something that he hits like this. No, it's subtle. You have to understand this. He's been at this much longer than you have. I mean, he tempted the Son of God. He went to tempt the Son of God 3 times. So he's been at this for a long time. The Bible says in Genesis, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field. Any beast of the field. Stay in the fight. Don't slack off. It's important that you persevere. Persevere. That's what we're talking about. Persevering. You were made for this hour. You are a soldier, a warrior. Do you understand what that means tonight? You were made for this hour. You were made to pull down strongholds. You were made to pray for people on your job and to see them healed in the name of Jesus. Spiritually healed, emotionally healed, mentally healed, delivered from life-controlling habits. You were made to pray for people in your community and to pray heaven down into their lives, folks. You were made to take authority over the works of darkness in your own home. You were made to wage warfare against the kingdom of darkness. Do you understand there is a war going on around us right now? We are in the natural physical realm. But according to the scriptures, around us right now, there is a spiritual realm. The Bible says we are actually surrounded by angels. The angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear God. So there, right now, we're in this natural physical dimension. There is a spiritual dimension all around us. And that's in that spiritual dimension, there are angels and there are demons. There are spirit beings all around us right now. Do you understand that? Even the world understands other dimensions. I mean, you see movies about sci-fi movies, right? They talk about other dimensions and all this stuff. Why? Because somewhere in the heart of man, there is an inner knowledge, even though they're not Christian or a believer, there's an inner knowledge that there's more to life than just the physical, the natural, the material. Do you understand that? Folks, you were made to take authority over the enemy. You were made to impact your campus for Christ. You were made to make a difference in this hour. Stay in the fight. Don't slack off. Persevere. We must stay sober and vigilant. The word vigilant means carefully noticing problems or signs of danger. It means alertly watching, especially to avoid danger, attentive, observant, wide awake. Did you know soldiers, Roman soldiers, were not even allowed to marry during their term of service and were strictly devoted to their service for over 20 years? 20 years, they devoted themselves. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've run the race. Hallelujah. And he was encouraging Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He said, our purpose is to please the Lord, not ourselves. We're not here to please ourselves. We're not here to live for ourselves. We're here to please God. But you know what's amazing? When you live for God, he takes care of you. He satisfies you like nothing else can. He satisfies the longing in your soul. I think of Michael, who shared his testimony here, and how he just began to pour out his heart about what happened in his life, his journey, and how the Lord got a hold of him and began to reveal his love to him and heal his broken heart. You know, the believers in Acts, the book of Acts, gathered from house to house to study the apostles' teaching for fellowship and the breaking of bread, which means communion. They gathered from house to house, fellowship. And I love hearing, you know, from time to time talking to different young people here, hearing how they gather. They've gathered in one person's house or gathered in another person's house on Sunday after, you know, service. They were at Wendy's fellowshipping or after the gate tonight, they're going to Chick-fil-A, you know. I mean, I just love, some of you are like, come on, Pastor, I'm hungry. Yeah. I just love hearing that, you know, because that's what this is all about. And folks, we're living the book of Acts when we do that. We are living the book of Acts when we do that. When we gather together. You know, every city the Apostle Paul went to, he found the local believers. He made it a point to seek them out. And if there were none, he made them by winning them to Christ. Come on, somebody. I love it. He made them by winning them to Christ. Praise God. Praise God. The scripture warns us not to turn inward, not to begin to focus on self. As a matter of fact, it says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. In other words, don't give your flesh an inch. Don't give your flesh an inch, folks. Because guess what? It's not going to settle for that. It's going to want more and more and more ground. The body of Christ needs you. Let me say it again. The body of Christ needs you. Needs you. You know, when they used to advertise for the military, they'd say, Uncle Sam. Right? They'd have them pointing at you and they said, he needs you. You know, your country needs you. Well, I want you to know tonight, the body of Christ needs you. The scriptures tell us that the Lord places us in the body as he sees fit. There is a place for you to occupy in the body. You have your own position on this team, in this game. You have your own position. And God has uniquely gifted you to fulfill that role. Hello. So we are not going to be among those that shrink back, that start slacking, because God gives us the grace not to. Are you with me tonight? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells Timothy this. Let's read it together. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. They should have that scripture for us tonight. Hello. They don't have it. Okay. I hope you have it. We're going to read it together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says this to Timothy, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. In other words, what was Paul saying? He was saying, Timothy, there is a grace that God gives you in Christ that enables you to be strong. That enables you to be strong. Hallelujah. This word strong here means to empower, to enable, to endue with strength, to receive strength, to be strengthened, to increase strength. In other words, Timothy, when the grace of God is actively working in your life, when you have received it by faith, when you appropriate it by faith, when you begin to walk in it by faith, it is going to strengthen you, Timothy. It is going to empower you to do things you could never do. It'll cause you to begin to see things you never could, you would have never seen before, like your future. Have you ever had God do that? I've had the Lord do that at times. Where all of a sudden he'll open a picture before me and show me my future. There is a strength, there is a grace that God gives. And it's all because of his merciful kindness. He comes and he begins to influence you and I, turning us to Christ, keeping us, strengthening us, increasing us in our faith, giving us knowledge, love, and affection, and causing us to grow in Christian virtues. So don't be drunk with wine, the scripture says. Don't be intoxicated with the things of this world. Don't get intoxicated. Don't get entangled with anything. But be filled with the Spirit. In other words, let the Holy Spirit control your life. Every day when you get up, give God complete control. Thank him for yesterday, but today, let him know, God, I need you today. Thank you for what you did yesterday, but I need you today, God. I give you control. This grace will enable us to fast and pray and to turn our attention to the kingdom of God. For example, at the end of this month, when we go through this media fast. Some of you are like, oh my God, I missed that announcement. This grace will enable you to survive and not to keel over, but to fast and pray and to turn your attention to heaven so that you can have an encounter with God. This grace will enable us to love one another as he loves us. Hallelujah. This same grace will enable us, like it says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But instead, it says, let us draw near in full assurance of faith. NLT puts it this way, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, completely trusting him, believing him for the miraculous. I like the way the psalmist put it. He said, one thing I ask of the Lord. There is one thing I'm going to seek most, and that's to dwell in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God. To behold his beauty and to delight in his temple. Hallelujah. You know how you would plug in a rechargeable device into an outlet? Electrical socket? What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about plugging yourself into the church, into fellowship, into Bible studies, plugging yourself into the house of God and not slacking. We're talking about not letting your charge run out, but staying plugged in so that you can be fully charged for God, fully charged for Jesus. Hallelujah. Fully charged for Jesus. Allow the Lord to keep you on track for the wonderful work he has planned to do through you. We are his masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus. There are works that he planned long ago for us to do. Be faithful in the little things. No task is too small. Folks, we are on the winning side. I said, we are on the winning side. Our God has never lost a fight, and he never will. He's a man of war. The Almighty is a very present help in our times of need. I'm talking about Jesus tonight. I'm talking about the one who saved you, the one who found you, the one who loves you, the one who promised to never leave you nor forsake you. I'm talking about the one who enables you to be more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what comes against you. Don't be discouraged or ever afraid. Look to him and live. I said, look to him and live. The one who has all power and all authority is with you, and he is fighting for you. Amen. You can bless the Lord tonight. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Perseverance, that's what we're talking about tonight. God is fighting for you. His grace is sufficient for you. So, man your post. Man your post. Get to your position. This is war. There's no slacking here. It's not time to slack. Stay in the fight. Amen? Tonight, I want to pray for everyone here. We're all going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us to stay in the fight, not to sleep on the enemy, not to allow the devil to get the best of us. Maybe there's an area where he's gotten the best of you. Time and time again, tonight we're going to believe the Lord that the buck stops here, that it's over, that my enemy is not going to be able to rejoice over me any longer because I have a Redeemer that lives. Are you with me tonight? Let's stand quietly and reverently. I'm going to open up the front of this church, what we call an altar, and if you feel to come forward and you want to do that, it's up to you. But I think we all need to pray tonight because we are being called to arms once again, especially in the hour we're living in. Folks, it's getting darker and darker out there, but this light is going to shine brighter and brighter because we were made for this hour. We're soldiers. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to pray together, all of us. We're going to believe God for the miraculous tonight to help us to persevere in this fight. You know, this is such a sobering hour that we're living in. I thank God for those of you who've responded here tonight. And in a moment, we're going to pray together and lift our voices to God Most High. But earlier today, I was in a prayer group and heard my assistant sharing, and I just asked her, and she shared with me how her friend's sister committed suicide yesterday, killed herself yesterday. And I thought to myself, man, this is the hour we're living in, folks. And so we have a job to do, and God's going to do. Actually, well, God's got a job to do, but he's going to do it through us. And all he's wanting is for you and I to say yes. And so that's what we're doing tonight. Even as we sing and we worship, we're praying and we're saying, God, here I am. Here I am. Take complete control. He knows your battles and struggles. You just give those to him and you trust him. Don't worry about a thing. You trust him. Keep trusting him. He's going to work everything out. Don't give up. Trust the Lord. I'm not asking you to fake it. I'm asking you to faith it. There's a difference. Sometimes I don't feel like singing, but I sing. Why? Because I'm faithing it. I choose to trust God. Did you catch that? I choose to believe God, that he's going to work everything out, no matter what I feel like, no matter what I'm going through, that he's going to work it all out. The one who started this work in you and I is going to see it through to completion. Amen? And even though people fail, and sometimes we fail, God never fails. He will always come through. His testimony is wrapped up in your testimony. His story is wrapped up in your story. Amen? So he is banked. He has staked his own reputation on you succeeding. Not in your own strength, but by the power of his spirit working in you on a day-to-day basis. So just yield to him, and that's what we're going to do right now. So I want you to lift both your hands to him. Even congregation, you lift your hands to him tonight too. I'm lifting my hands to God. Folks, this word came to me first, and it's still coming to me tonight. So I want you to just, in your own words, just begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I surrender. I yield to you. I give up. I put up the white flag. No more running. No more resisting. I'm trusting you, God. Take complete control. Come on, speak to him. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Talk to him. Open your mouth and you talk to him. You begin to talk to him. If you need forgiveness, ask him to forgive you tonight. Say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Free me, God, from everything that's holding me back. Help me to trust you, Lord. Thank you that you've come tonight to strengthen me. You've come to encourage me. You've come to help me, Lord, tonight. I give up, Lord. I'm done running. I'm done trying to work things out on my own. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm just going to trust you. Take my past, my present, my future, everything. I give it to you tonight. I yield it to you. I surrender to you tonight. Come on, folks. Congregation, you pray. You talk to God tonight. You talk to God. Say, God, Lord, I'm throwing my lot into this fight. I'm not slacking. I'm not slacking. I'm going with Jesus. I'm part of God's army. He's going to finish what he began in me. Hallelujah. God, we praise you tonight. We thank you tonight for the victory that's ours already in Christ. Thank you for the work that you began in us, that you're going to see it through to completion. Thank you, God, that you will never, ever, ever fail us, Lord, that you are good and your mercies are new every morning, God. Every morning your mercies are new, God. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour. Lord, thank you that we were born for this hour. Lord, we are soldiers. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord tonight. I'm a soldier. God, I'm made for this hour. I'm a warrior for Christ. We are commandos for Jesus. Hallelujah. We were special forces for Christ tonight. Thank you, God. You have equipped us. You've armed us with strength for the battle, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you, because you are at our right hand, we shall not be moved, Lord. We will not be moved tonight. We bless you for the victory, Lord. We thank you that the devil is defeated, God. We thank you, oh God, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because of your spirit now living in us, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We are under no obligation to obey the flesh and its lusts, Lord. We are no longer obligated to follow the dictates of our own flesh and carnal nature. We can now say yes to you. We can now sing yes to you. We can now pray yes to you. God, we can now call on you and know that you will glorify your name in and through us. Father, we praise you tonight. Thank you for the victory over the devil. Thank you for the victory over the forces of darkness. Thank you for the victory that's ours in Christ, Lord. Thank you for the victory over the flesh, Lord. Tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you that you delight in us. We are the apple of your eye, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, oh God, that you are going to use us, Lord, to touch this generation. You're going to use us to minister to souls, Lord, more than we could ever imagine, God. Lord, even through our prayers and our song and our testimony and as we live for you and through our acts of kindness, God, you are going to use us for your glory. God, we just thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Now break every form of depression. Break every lie of the enemy. Break every spirit of discouragement. God, break, Lord, every, Lord, stronghold over the mind, Lord, of your people tonight, God. Free everyone tonight, God. Free everyone tonight, Jesus. Everyone, everyone, Lord. Free everyone in your house tonight, God, for your glory and your name's sake. And Father, we receive our miracle tonight. We receive our freedom tonight. We receive our mandate tonight. We receive our marching orders tonight. We receive, oh God, our commission tonight as your soldiers, as your Lord, as your people. We receive it tonight. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.